chapter 12, Paul writes, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Present your bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, Paul wrote, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What does Paul mean when he tells us that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God? What does it mean when it says that this is our spiritual worship? A living sacrifice. Most sacrifices are dead. Most sacrifices are inanimate objects, money. Most sacrifices are animals. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew world, sacrifices were usually animals that were placed on the altar and chopped up and burned for God's receipt. Or they were offerings made. Or in the case of Jesus, it is the Lamb of God, the eternal Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. But here Paul tells us that we are to make and to present and to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. By sacrifice, he means not just anything, but a living gift. Our bodies are to be presented to God as a living gift to God. Not when we die, not when we are done with this in life, not when we go to be with God in heaven are we a sacrifice to God. But right now, a living sacrifice, we're called to present our very selves to God, dedicate ourselves to God, offer ourselves to God. This isn't a half-hearted act either. When something is sacrificed, that which is given completely. It is not given and then taken back. It is given and left on the altar for God. And note, it's our bodies that he says here. Not our souls, not our spirits, not our money, not our stuff, our bodies. The word that Paul uses is soma here, the very body that we have, the physical body that you have, the physical you that you are, the good and the bad and the ugly, friends. We are called to present our bodies, all that we have and are, good, bad, and ugly, to God. Well, I don't think God's going to want my body. I'm ugly. I'm old. I'm lame. I hurt too much. I can't possibly do anything for God. I can't possibly be a sacrifice for God. I can't sing like Josh. I can't play like Rose. I can't sew like Dina. I can't sing like the choir. I can't nurse like Jeannie. I can't serve in the church like many of the people here. What can I possibly do? What can my body possibly be worth to God as a sacrifice? What can I possibly do in me as a sacrifice to God? I'm a sinner. I am the greatest sinner here. How can I possibly be a sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is our spiritual worship? How can we present these sinful bodies that we have to God as a sacrifice? Sacrifices in the Old Testament was your best, your unblemished lamb, your firstborn, your very, very best. Not your second best, not your third best, Not your 27th best, like most of us, but the very best. The unblemished lamb. And the last time I looked, I and you, we were pretty blemished. How can we be presented? How can we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God? How can we possibly do that? He says to do it anyway. He makes it clear. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Holy and acceptable. Agion, agios, holy. When something in the ancient world was placed upon the altar, that something was made holy. Not because of it. Not because it was the firstborn. Not because it was the first fruits. Not because it was the tenth. Not because it was an unblemished lamb. But because it was placed on the altar. It was placed in close relationship to God. It was given over to God and placed on the altar. That made it holy. God neither makes nor takes junk. God makes the best, and He accepts the best. And when you place yourself on God's holy altar, when you present your body, as sinful as it may be, as blemished as it may be, as sick as it may be, as imperfect as it may be, when you present yourself as a gift to God, He makes it holy and acceptable. Well, I'm not holy and acceptable, and neither are you. Yep, right. Not in this world, not according to the law, but God in His grace, when we place ourselves before God, He accepts us and makes us holy and acceptable before Him. So, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Which is your spiritual worship. Now that's interesting. Spiritual worship. Another translation says reasonable service. The words here are the word from which the word here for spiritual in the NRSV and in the NASB, the word here that is translated from Greek is the same word that we get logic from, logos, the word. It means reason, it means order and structure, it means truth, it means that which is correct and accurate, that which is truthful, that which you can depend upon. It means logic, friends. Reasonable logic. Hence, the King James translation of reasonable service is close to being correct. When we present ourselves before God, we are engaged in reasonable, logical, truthful worship. What does it mean to worship? What does it mean to engage in worship? You ever thought about that word? What it means in English? It's a contraction of two words, worth and ship. Worth, that which you ascribe as having great value, has great worth, and ship, to give it to transport it to. To give great value to. When we worship God, we are expressing great value and esteem and respect to God. We are giving to God, we are presenting to God our very selves to make holy, to be made holy, to be transformed holy, to be placed on God's altar and be made holy. And that is true, spiritual, reasonable, logical worth-ship. We esteem God highly as the central point of our living when we commit our entire selves to God. Well, I want to commit Sunday from 9:30 to noon. And when Greg goes over, I notice it on my watch. But I want to commit 9:30 to noon to God. Nope. Sorry. Well, okay. 9:30 to noon and 6 to 7:30 on Sunday night. I'll commit that to God. Sorry. Okay. 9:30 to noon, 6 to 7:30, and Wednesday night from 6 until 8. Nope. Sorry. God doesn't accept half measures. God wants all of you. Not just all of you, and He does, but all of you. And you. And you. Not just a little bit that we're giving right now, but our bodies, our very selves, all of us. And we are called to present it to Him as a living sacrifice, giving all of ourselves to God, and He makes us holy when we do that. And that is true spiritual worship. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed here is passive. Now, let me explain this again. Sometimes English just kind of really gets to be difficult. Jim, get up. Stand right here. Now, Jim, don't face me. Jim is standing there, right? Now, Jim is falling over. You're supposed to fall over. When I pushed on Jim, Jim was passive in going back. Okay? Come back over. Don't stand away. When I pushed on Jim, he was passive in going back. Very good. He almost fell over. Now, when I push on him again, he's going to go back before I touch him. No, you didn't do it.
Too quick.
When I push on him again, take two. When I push on him again, he's going to go back before I get to him. He was active. You get the difference? When I pushed...
active.
Yeah. When I pushed him the first time, he was passive. He went back because I pushed him. But when I reached out to push him the second time, he went back on his own. That made him active. That's the difference between passive and active. When something else causes the action, even if it's to this person here, he is passive in the action. But if he does it himself, he is active. Here, go sit down, be active.
Actively sit.
Yes. Now, here we have a passive word, a passive verb. Do not be conformed to this world. It's passive. Conformed in the original language is passive. We don't conform ourselves to this age, to this eon, to this world. We don't conform ourselves. We are conformed by the sin nature within us. We sin, friends, because we are sinners. Okay? Because within us is a nature, a fallen nature that sins and conforms us to this world. Thanks to what Adam and Eve did, We are conformed to this world, not by ourselves, not by our doing, but by the fact of sin living within us. And he says, don't allow this. Don't allow this. Do not be conformed passively to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Here we have another passive verb. The word is the word from which we get metamorphosis in English. The word metamorphosis, transformed in the NRSV translation, metamorphosized, metamorphosed. Be metamorphosed, he says. Passive. You can't change yourself. You cannot get right with God. You can't do it on your own. You cannot change yourself. If you are a sinner, there's only one way you're going to stop sinning a certain way. And that's if God stops you. If you are a sinner, oh yeah, sure, you have some control over whether or not you're going to sin a certain way today, but you cannot stop being a sinner unless God metamorphoses you, unless God changes you, unless God transforms you. Just as you are a sinner because you've been acted upon by the fall of Adam and Eve, which causes you to be a sinner, and therefore you sin. Likewise, if you're going to change, if you are going to be metamorphosized, metamorphosed by God, if you're going to be metamorphosed, it has to be by God. You are passive in this. The action here is passive action, meaning it has to happen to you. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed, by the renewing of your minds. Renewing of your minds. Greg, how can I renew my mind? What process do I go through to renew it? Is it like renewing my driver's license? I get the form, I send it off, and if I'm not too old, I don't have to go have my picture taken again or get another driver's test, and I can get another driver's license, right? What do I do to renew my mind? Sorry. Translation is poor here. The word in Greek is not a verb, renewing your mind, something that you're doing, nor is it a passive verb. You're going to have your mind renewed. It's a noun, the renewal of your mind. It's not renewing, a verb. It's renewal. Your renewal is due. It's a substance, a thing. The renewal of your mind. What does renewal mean? It means to make new, again. To be transformed, to be metamorphosed, again. It is to make it better. The new and improved Cindy. The new and improved Renee. The new and improved Jean and Jean. And the other Jean who isn't here. The new and improved Randy. New and improved. How? By the renewal of your mind. And elsewhere in Scripture it says that when we have Christ living within us, we have the mind of Christ. By the renewal of your mind, you receive into yourself the mind of Christ. And that makes you new indeed, friends. Back to where we were. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not allow yourself to be conformed by the sin nature to this world, but be metamorphosed by the renewal of your mind, by the receiving of Jesus to transform your mind, your thoughts, your dreams, your desires, your intellect, so that you may discern, so that you may prove, so that you may comprehend and apply what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul here, in the beginning of chapter 12, says to us, we are to make ourselves an offering. We are to make an offering of ourselves, a living sacrifice presented to God, which He will make holy and acceptable to Him. And He will not allow us to continue to be conformed to this world, but rather He will metamorphose our minds by giving us a new mind, a renewal of mind, a renewal of intellect, a renewal of thought. We will receive the mind of Christ, to quote from elsewhere. And that truly is the new and improved. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice. When we do that, we will discern what is the will of God, which is our spiritual worship. Our spiritual worship. We will discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then he goes on to outline what the will of God is. And you know, up until now, this is nice and theological and philosophical and really nice and distant from us, isn't it? I mean, I've been going on now for about 15 minutes, and it's been nice and distant. No toes to step on, really. No difficult things to do. We've been acted upon. God's going to act upon us now when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. We'll have mind renewal, and everything will be okay. We will discern the will of God. Paul then tells us what the will of God is. And as usual, Paul can't help but meddling. He says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you that think of yourself more highly than you ought to think." Oh, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. You know, on communion Sundays, I stand up here, and after the consecration of the elements and the great thanksgiving, I said, because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one body, for we all partake the one loaf. The bread which we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? That's a partial quote from right here, friends. Though we are many, we are one body in Christ. We who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity. The leader in diligence. The compassionate in cheerfulness. All right. So what does he say? He's saying each of you has a role to play in the body. Each of you has a role to play. Not everybody can be a pianist. Not everybody can sing. We're called to make a joyful noise to the Lord, and some of us are good at the noise part. Not all of us are good nurses. Not all of us are good at working around the facilities and painting and sewing. We all have a place and a part in the body of Christ. And we should not attempt to be what we are not. But rather we should be the part of the body that God calls us to be. All right? Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Well, so far so good. That's easy. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Well, now he's starting to get a little bit pointed and difficult. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Now that's difficult. I mean, thus far, it's been okay, you know. But he's starting to get hard now when he's talking about patience. I don't like that. I want it now. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. I don't want to suffer either. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Well, this is a mixed bag here. Some of it's okay. I think we can handle this. Some of it's not. But then he starts stomping. Bless those who persecute you. Ow. Bless and do not curse them. Ow, ow. I don't like this, Paul. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Well, I like the rejoicing part, but the weeping he can take. Live in harmony with one another. I don't want to do that. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. I want to associate with the rich, not the poor. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. But take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, here's my out. Live peaceably with all. What if it doesn't depend on me? Guess what? A whole lot does. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. Not your friends. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that is what is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. Gosh, those are high callings, friends. The part about holding fast to good sounds neat. And opposing that which is evil, that sounds neat too. But this part of feeding your enemies and giving them something to drink, this part of accepting your brothers and sisters, and not just them, but the people out there too, and being hospitable to strangers, this bit about not getting your pound of flesh when someone owes you, this is the will of God. Not vengeance, friends, but reaching out with the love of God. Reaching out with the new, with the renewed mind, with the metamorphosed mind, with the transformed, renewed mind. Reaching out with a new attitude. That's what he's talking about here. Here we are hearing about being turned over to God as a sacrifice and receiving a new mind, a new attitude, a new way of living, a new way of considering others, a new way of reaching out to others, not with the back of the hand, but with the right hand of fellowship. My friends, we are called to have a renewed mind. And we know how to do it. We know how to receive it. And it's nothing that we can do. We must be acted upon by God. We must be metamorphosed by God's power and presence. By that awesome majesty that we heard about last week, that burning fire in the fireplace. We must have it in our hearts today. And allow God to metamorphose us by the renewal of our mind. So that we might have a different attitude in this family. That we might reach out with grace and peace in faith to others. That's what the revival's about. Being metamorphosed so that we can reach out with mind renewal to others. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.